But yeah, we're going to go ahead and talk about Transformers. I thought it might be good to just kind of do like maybe like a brief, you know, 10-minute retrospective on the franchise itself.
Okay.
You know, kind of sharing our general thoughts and on certain times that the franchise was like really relevant. And this is, of course, this is in regards to Netflix's new series. But yeah, I figure it might be kind of fun to do something like that. So I think a lot of people are pretty familiar. Like if you haven't, you know, you've seen some of the more recent Transformers content, you're probably familiar with the original series, which I guess came out in like the mid-80s at the time.
Yeah.
And then, of course, you had the actual 1986 film. And here's like some like a stills from that movie. I think they did like a special Blu-ray 30th anniversary re-release, improving the animation. But this was the, other than like, you know, some live action films that have come out in the last few years, this was the one I was probably most familiar with. And kind of give you an idea of how Transformers originally started, we'll go ahead and look at the first trailer for the 1986 film. Oh, I had the camera on you.
Hold on tight. The most incredible rock and roll adventure ever is here.
Welcome to the Shopticons.
Starring Judd Nelson as Hot Rod.
Jesus Christ. Man, you're laughing right now at just Judd Nelson. Some of the other names they have in this, I'm like, oh my God, well, that's him?
It's just funny that Judd Nelson has top billing, but I guess it was right off the heels of The Breakfast Club.
Yeah, because Breakfast Club was like, what, 83, 85?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was only a couple of years, if not a year. But yeah, I'll continue watching a little bit more.
Leonard Nimoy as
Galvatron
and Orson Welles.
Okay, you cannot tell that that's Orson Welles
at all.
They put so many effects on his voice. They just wanted, like, we got Orson Welles for this movie.
Sure.
Yeah. And I mean, I think he briefly did an interview, because I think this film came out like when he died or right after he died. Mm-hmm. And I think he did an interview talking about the film. You can find the audio online. But it's like, oh, well, what's your role in the film? He's like, I'm a toy that's fighting other toys, and I swallow them, and the toys are inside me. And he's like, he didn't know what the hell he was saying when he did this movie.
But his description is not incorrect.
He did nail it. He was very accurate with that. You are not wrong. Continue watching more of these toys swallowing other toys.
Beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination. Transformers, the movie.
Remember watching this for the first time years ago.
Yeah.
And because I was not a Transformers guy, you know, the 80s cartoons, this never appealed to me. I was very much a 90s kid.
Mm-hmm.
By this point, I was watching stuff like Batman the Animated Series and Animaniacs and Pinky and the Brain and
sure,
like all those
that,
Hey Arnold and things.
That was a new golden age of animation.
Exactly. And this still was a part of like that. It was still, I mean, it you know, it started in the 80s and they had all the various other animated Transformers cartoons. The one that I was really into is, and I looked back and I was like, oh geez, what was I thinking? But it was because of a new animation style was introduced for a lot of people. Have you ever heard of Beast Wars?
Shout out.
You know, here you go. You can go ahead and take a look at it. You're laughing.
No. You don't know why I'm laughing.
Yeah. Okay. I definitely want to hear that reason. But yeah, okay. For those of you who don't know, here's a little bit of Beast Wars.
Who's back? Transformers Beast Wars Season 1. After the Great War, the Transformers story continues as the Maximals and Predacons battle in the distant past to determine the fate of the future.
Across the galaxy, it has come to this. Let's do it!
Jesus!
I know how that looks. But it was a long time ago, and it was for television for a week, for a weekly Saturday morning television show. Mm-hmm. That was way better than I would have expected.
Sure, I know, but we look back now. I mean, the reason
now it looks like The Asylum did it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, yeah, look at that fucking face. That's actually
better than what The Asylum does now.
Yeah, honestly, and it's about a good property. See, they would have done Transmorphers, uh-huh. which they actually you can watch that original film. I think they did several sequels to it too. I think there's at least three. They at least did a trilogy. But yeah, this was the one that I watched years ago. This was what the one I was most familiar with. Then it was not until after I'd seen this, then I'd seen the Transformers movie and a couple of episodes.
Yeah. Oh, you saw that? You saw Beast Wars first.
This was
saw the Transformers.
Yes,
movie.
Yeah. This is my first introduction to the franchise.
Okay.
And I believe that they used the animation style because you had a lot of studios that were doing this too because of the success of Toy Story.
Sure.
And everyone's like, okay, we got to push this new CG 3D animation.
3D is the thing. Nobody's mm-hmm. these kids aren't going to want 2D anymore.
Yeah.
This is what we got to do.
And I'm like, yeah, you know, I don't know. I think I would have preferred some 2D animation in hindsight.
This and they did a Starship Troopers TV series.
That's right. Yeah. I forgot about that. Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, that was my first introduction to Transformers. And of course, there had been other takes on the property since then. People might not be familiar with the animated shows. Maybe their first introduction was, I don't know, with some of the films. Maybe not the original one, but they thought, you know what? I'm sure you had a fan out there. You had someone's like, I can do something with this property. I can make it. I can bring it new life. Introduce it to a whole new generation of people. And that man was this. It was Michael Bay. And it's like, you know what, Michael? I don't think we needed your version. I don't think we needed your take on the
Transformers. I'm
going to
give them what I know they want, even though they don't know they want it. But this is what they want.
And he certainly gave us a lot. It's famously... on Double Toasted, the reviews for the Transformers franchise, you guys have done a very good job deconstructing those abominations, in my opinion. But kind of give you an idea of what Michael Bay brought to the series. Here we have some Autobots. I think you're familiar with Martin. I think Corey is too. Yeah, you guys.
All my favorites.
Yeah, you're two of the dynamic duo, my friend.
The symbols that have been rattling around.
Old school, yo. That's Cybertronian.
Oh, that's some serious stuff right there.
They gotta mean something, like a message.
Read? We don't really do much read.
Look,
we
can't sashay him back.
Head growing like a chia pet. Look at him.
I had a bit of a mild panic attack.
I mean, right?
That's because you a pussy.
Why? I did not need... These two, I mean,
the Negro bots.
Yeah, yeah. I would have said ghetto bots. I don't think I can get away with that one.
Negro's not a bad one.
Yeah, I know. But during these times, I have no idea. I'm like, always walking on eggshells. But yeah, man, Michael Bay's contribution to the franchise, that put it back. I think.
Sure.
I think that had such a... Because the thing was, so many people's perception of this franchise was based on these movies. Mm-hmm. And there were so many of them that people eventually started to forget about the cartoons. And like, not obviously the original fans that watched them years ago.
Yeah,
I mean, they were as upset as anyone with these depictions of these characters or just abomination versions. And but I mean, I wouldn't say all the live-action films are as bad as a lot of people say. We got at least one good one. Yeah, it's this one right here.
The one that didn't make nearly as much money, you mean?
It was after five or six bad movies, you know. I mean, that's what happened. Diminishing returns, but yeah.
Sure.
Tally, but we did get one good one with this.
Tie yourself around his knee. Oh, I'm good. I'm good, thanks.
There's a war raging on our planet. If this criminal isn't found, that war may find its way here.
Is there anyone that can help you? Do you have a family? Oh, who but me?
They're calling an army.
I've seen firsthand. These things really are.
Bumblebee. There is only one way to end this war. You must protect Earth and its people.
Take it down! Yeah.
I mean, this film was finally given, like, all the fans what they wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you had the OG designs.
Yeah.
The Generation 1, I think that's what it's called. You had the Cybertronian war on Cybertron.
Right,
people
right.
love that.
They transformed in a way that was like, oh, this is what I remember
yeah.
from the cartoons and actually playing with the toys.
The sound effect. You had mm-hmm. the sound effect in there. But I think what the movie did so well, in my opinion, is it had heart. Mm-hmm. Which is the Michael Bay films. And he said, fuck heart.
Yeah.
we don't need that. you can't fit somebody explodes inside a heart, you know? Yeah. You can't do that. Yeah, and it's sad that this movie, I mean, critically, it did very well, mm-hmm. I think. Yeah. It's derivative of E.T., and I had some issues with it, but overall, it's still a fun experience in the theater.
Sure.
And I'm sad that apparently they're not going to continue going on that direction. They want to see, maybe we can make an amalgamation of the Bay films and what Bumblebee offered. So that's, I don't know, it makes me concerned. Because I thought, wow, you finally nailed it after the sixth attempt. We can go. We can finally have like a good live action franchise, but we don't know. I mean, there's still some time until we get there. But now we come to this moment, America's. Yes, there has been so many different adaptations of Transformers. Now we have a new one, and this is interesting because you know there's been so many different reinterpretations of this property, and a lot of them have, for the most part, I guess, you know, you have the comics that which are very mature, which are a little darker. But for the most part, like these cartoons have always been for kids.
Sure.
You know, they are dealing with, mature elements, of course. You see people die on screen. Famously, Optimus Prime died in the original film. But they've mostly been for an audience of a younger generation. He comes back.
Okay.
Spoiler. They kill him. That was the thing that was so shocking. So many children back in the day when they saw this in theaters.
Yeah,
like
right.
He dies in the first 20 minutes by Megatron, but then they resurrect him with the Allspark, I think.
As Rodimus Prime.
I think that's it. And you have Megatron as Galvatron. He comes back in a new form. That's Leonard Nimoy's character in the film. But that's what we have. This new property right here, Transformers War for Cybertron. This is being produced by Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
And listen, Netflix, they're just throwing money around willy-nilly.
They
really don't care. I always constantly hear that they are so heavily in debt, but then they always greenlight these new projects. Yeah, like billions in debt. And so I just don't understand.
How is that possible? Because they are you watch some of the things they greenlight that they produce, and you're like, that seems like a waste of money.
Yeah.
Was there nobody there to look this over and go like, maybe not?
They spend tens of millions of dollars, if not hundreds of millions of dollars, on so many of these projects, and they go ahead and cancel after, we're not going to finish the story. Like, it's like a 5-season arc. I'm like, we're going to cancel at season 4. Oh. Like, they do that all the time. And that's always weirded me out, but they must have a war chest of some kind. Or maybe they're just not revealing their finances. And it could just be hearsay. People say they're billions of dollars in debt. But what makes this really interesting is the production company involved. It's not just, Netflix. I mean, they're providing the money.
Yeah.
But it's the people that are actually making this. And it's actually some hometown guys.
Really?
Yeah. It's
Is it Powerhouse?
Yeah, it's Rooster Teeth.
Oh, Rooster Teeth. Okay.
Yeah, and now they have worked on many projects over there. Anime, obviously, they're most probably well known for Red versus Blue, and they've also created some other original series,
Ruby,
which we have right here, which I think is like going to go into its fifth or sixth season right now, and that is just blown up. And of course, they're probably most famous for something like Red versus Blue, as I said before. But the fact that they're just really entering into the mainstream, and they've been in the mainstream for so long.
Yeah.
But like actually producing shows and releasing them on streaming platforms, I always thought that was kind of incredible,
mm-hmm.
Since I was always a fan, I was like, okay, I want to see what Rooster Teeth's interpretation of this world is. And they've mostly dabbled in comedy for so long. I mean, Red versus Blue was very comedic, on the Halo franchise. But then Ruby, it was very much like it was geared towards kids, but it also had some mature elements as the seasons went on. I haven't caught up on everything, but it's like they were dealing with some mature topics. And this one, I was like, okay, well, they're just going to go ahead and you're going to do the comedic angle again with Transformers. It's like, it's not going to be dark or anything. You're not going to see people die. If they do die, they're going to die off screen. It's like, yeah, I don't think so. And that's why we have the trailer for Transformers War for Cybertron Siege, I think it's called. This is going to be like a three-part series. It's going to have a trilogy, which I guess is very similar to Netflix's Godzilla anime series, which was a trilogy.
Oh, okay.
So I guess maybe they're taking inspiration from that.
Considering the length of the episodes, it was making me think of Castlevania.
Yeah. I think Netflix does this where, okay, we'll give you however much money for these episodes, but you can only do like about five or six or even four of the first Castlevania. See how it does. And then it's like, okay, then we green light. Now you get like a dozen episodes next season. Mm-hmm. So they're all, they are cautious despite, you know, giving their, their money out willy nilly. But yeah, very, very odd. But yeah, guys, let's go ahead and check out the first trailer for Transformers War for Cybertron. Martin and I will tell us or tell you our thoughts.
I have done what I have to do to end this war. Honor will not win this war. This is the final day of the Autobot. Resistance. I cannot help but ask myself, is this a hopeless crusade? Have my actions led to the extinction of our people? The Allspark is a vessel of life. In the hands of Megatron, there's no telling what he might do. The Allspark. Yes.
A clean and decisive victory.
If we continue on this course, no one will be left to win. Circle closes, Prime. You are defeated. We end this war.
Of course, that is available now for everyone's viewing pleasure. Now, Martin, I don't know how you feel about this, but I was very surprised at how dark this show is. And it's like, yeah, these cartoony robots I remember seeing in the 80s adaptations, and the fact that they're telling such a mature story while also being respectful of the original source material, I was like, wow, okay, you did something I didn't expect, Rooster Teeth.
Dark. I mean, I guess you can,
darker than usual.
I guess you can call it dark, considering that there's maiming and torture and death throughout this series. Yeah. That's dark for what was pretty much a bright and colorful 30-minute toy commercial. Yeah.
Yeah. It was. I mean, there's moments in this show. I'm like, how did you this get past? I guess there isn't censors. Netflix says we're gonna put up whatever the hell we want.
Yeah, they can do whatever they want. I feel like this is something that Transformers has been teasing for a long time, edging towards just a little bit, but it's always like, yeah, but you know, there's always somebody going like, hey, we still got to sell these.
Yeah, these are still toys.
We still got to sell toys. Mm-hmm. We got to get kids in here. Even the movies have been, you know, hinting at these things and trying to touch them. But this one just dives right into it.
It does. I mean, it starts out with just these people being masked. What this show does so well, in my opinion, and we'll get to some of the other things I want to hit on, but from the offset, it plays around with the mythology, I think, extremely well. It reminded me somewhat of, I mean, it feels weird to compare it to, but the Batman Telltale games, which I don't know if you played, but I highly recommend them. You would really dig them. They play around with the mythology so much. So like the Joker's in it, but it's not the Joker you think it is. It's a totally different take on the character, and it's a totally different take on Batman. We see that here. Mm-hmm. What I love about, like, even how this starts. Yeah, you get your little action beat, and I can see why this would throw people off, because I have read some very negative reviews from the fans.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people are mad at this.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, and wow. I thought for sure the fans would be eating it up.
Sure, I thought so too. And they're out there, but I've read some very negative reviews and reactions to this because it plays around with the mythology. Because it's not adhering to what the original series did or some other adaptations.
Okay, maybe I don't know. Because you wanted to know my opinion of the original series.
I do. Yeah, absolutely.
So here's the thing. What I realized from you saying Because I figured, okay, where you are, you're almost 30. Mm-hmm. You probably grew up watching it and you loved it. But you're saying that, no, you actually, you missed that.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so there seems to be this window. And that window is 10 years older than you, but 10 years younger than me. Because by the time I got to where Transformers had come out, that was the time of Transformers and He-Man and Thundercats.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, this new animation, it's nice and pretty and Japanese influence, but there's nothing here playing that interests me. These cartoons, like I suspected at the time and have read since then that, yes, they even got busted for this. These cartoons existed for the sole purpose of selling toys.
Oh, yeah.
They were like they literally were 22-minute toy commercials where the FCC had to come in and go, and G.I. Joe as well. They had to come in and go, you better start having a moral in these because we're not going to let you just, you know, just do what you want to do. So I had no real affinity for Transformers. I watched it ever so often. Now, I did see the movie in the theater because I had a bunch of friends who wanted to go. And I was like, all right. And plus, it was always cool anytime an animated movie was in the theater that wasn't Disney. It just meant it was something else.
Yeah,
and so, and at the time, I remember seeing it and really digging it. But I couldn't, for the life of me, tell you what it was about.
It took place like in the middle of different seasons and things, and you had no context for the characters.
Yeah, none of that. I actually didn't like anything Transformers until I saw Beast Wars.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I mean, I like Beast Wars at the time.
That's why I was laughing when you brought it up. Because I was like, yeah, I didn't, up to that point, they introduced a new Transformers thing, and I go like, well, let me just check this out. And it wasn't until Beast Wars that I ended up watching almost by accident, like Batman or whatever, Saturday morning. Because it had been that renaissance of TV animation.
Yep.
It started with Batman and had all these things. So got back into watching cartoons on Saturday mornings, and Beast Wars would come on in between stuff, and I end up watching going like, oh, I kind of dig this.
Nice.
Kind of into this story.
Yeah.
And there's been some other Transformers. There was one other one that had almost like a Rankin Bass feel to it, which surprising style of art, but that drew me in. I liked that for a little bit. All that said, yeah, and the movies have been awful except for Bumblebee. Now, watching this, I'm like, all right, I'll watch it because Chris wants to. But right off the bat, I was kind of like, huh, they're really taking this seriously.
Yeah.
Like, all the silly shit is just gone.
It's been jettisoned.
Yeah.
I was so surprised. Like, so is anyone going to crack a joke or anything? I mean, there's a little bit of humor in there, but it feels there's enough. It's enough. Absolutely right. And it just feels natural for the scene that we're currently in. They have context for why they're being funny. And usually it's self-deprecating or it's in reference to something that's just horrible has just happened. Well, and they got to break the tension a little bit.
Well, always in the movies, they're always alluding to, well, this happened on Cybertron and this was Cybertron and the AllSpark, blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And it was always a bunch of like, oh, shut up. This means nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this is almost going to where, so now I get what you guys have been fighting about all this time. Now it makes sense.
Yeah. And it's that, you know what? This is kind of the point. To your point, yeah, we know why they were fighting. That's great because I never AllSpark and Energon. They're all the same to me, right? They do a good job even within this because it's only six episodes.
As we said before,
it's six episodes. Not all of them are 22 minutes. Some are 15 minutes, which I also got under people's issues with
you,
that.
You could have. I love that.
Yeah, I didn't mind it either. I was surprised by that.
As a matter of fact, yeah, because had they been 30 minutes is a great length. But even that, depending on what it is, can feel a little bit long. But it made me go with someone being so short. It was easier to binge because I was like, oh, I can't just automatically kind of map the pace of this and know when I can get up and go grab a snack or something. It's like, oh, I might get up and the episode might be over. So I'm just going to stick around.
Yeah. No, I mean, I watched it all the way through.
And it's tight. There's not stuff wasted. There's no subplots that go nowhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, I mean, you have that limited episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, some between 15 to 22 minutes, you always have to get to the point. And there is absolutely no fluff in these first six episodes. But the one thing that I've liked that a lot of people hate, you know, that I've read online, and there has been some positive reviews for this series, but the things that I enjoy about it are the things that people hate about it.
Oh.
The darker tone, The fact that it's so mature. Okay. You know, the fact that there is not as much humor, even though there is a bit of humor.
So people were liking the humor in these shows up to this point?
Hey, it's nostalgia. That's what it is. Nostalgia for that, for those sensibilities.
Because the humor has always been awful.
Yeah. No, I've never been a fan either. but the thing that I love, and as I referenced before with the Batman Telltale series, is it plays around with the characters and how they typically are. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that Optimus is kind of growing into being a leader. He's kind of like a bad leader because he's second command when this series starts out. I'm like, this is so great. He's not this god that everyone just worships. Like, he is very flawed, and you have people that constantly questioning his decisions because a lot of them are bad decisions too.
Well, yeah, him and who's the leader of the Autobots? Magnus?
Yeah, Magnus, yeah.
Optimus Prime, especially, they're bitches. the whole time I was like, man, the Autobots are a bunch of bitches.
They really are.
What? And Optimus Prime's just getting his ass handed to him
constantly. He never wins a fight. The only time he wins a fight is when someone helps him out.
Yeah, exactly.
At the very end,
somebody come in and help him. If it wasn't for that, if he didn't say like, "Hey, can you get on that rock up there and just, you know, sniper any of these guys?" When I start to lose.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, when even though it's obviously a trap, and it's like, I know, but we got to do this. It's like, but it's obviously a trap. He's like, I know, but maybe it won't be. And it ends up being a goddamn trap.
I do like, yeah. Every time he makes a decision. Like, I'm loyal to you, don't get me wrong, but are you sure about this?
Yeah.
Isn't that kind of bad? Won't that hurt, like, the whole planet? I just feel like, all right.
I love that they had that weird, they changed the dichotomy of Megatron and Optimus Prime, where, because I want to touch on one other character too, but even with Megatron, it's like, yeah, you're a bad guy, you're doing bad things and things, but the reason why he started doing these bad things, I'm like, was that ever a part of the franchise where the Decepticons were like the lowest class?
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that so much because it's always been the Decepticons are evil because they're just evil. And this gets revealed, it's like, no, we were the lower class. We were working the mines.
Yeah,
we were practically slaves while you Autobots were sort of the aristocrats just living off of us.
Sipping on Energon, as some of the Decepticons say. Uh-huh, yeah, I love that. And it's like, yes, what Megatron is doing, he's murdering people. He's killing POWs.
Yeah.
But they even show him regretting that decision because it's like this, I have to do this in order to really make sure my people are free. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't know if they've ever played around with the history of the franchise, but to have him be this very relatable person, even though he's doing bad things, I really like that. He's not a straight Saturday morning cartoon bad guy in any capacity. Mm-mm. And listen, for those that want that, you got Starscream. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
He's Starscream is still Starscream. There's very little changed about him.
Right.
Actually, he's still
Weasley.
Oh yeah, very Weasley. And the thing I liked about him was that other people are calling Starscream out. Like, it's not just Megatron's like, God, I can't stand you. Other people are also saying that, like, we hate you, Starscream, because fellow Decepticons, you are shit. I love that.
Oh, I love that. Yeah, with Jetfire going to Megatron's like, man, this fucking guy, can we just get rid of him? And he's like, I know, but he's... He's a weapon. That's all I need.
He's more of a tool than me.
He's a tool.
Fair enough.
Now that humor was funny.
See, exactly. Within the context of the scene itself, it works so well. And a lot of people have been reacting negatively to Bumblebee's character because he's not the loyal Autobot. As like from the original cartoon, he's not Optimus number two.
So they don't like characters to have dimension.
No, they don't like that. No, they want to relive the same Saturday morning cartoons that they experienced in the 1980s.
Man, I swear, this franchise it gets rewritten and recoded every time somebody touches it. Mm-hmm. So try being a Batman fan, or Spider-Man.
Right.
You get to watch this happen every time a different creator touches it. It's a whole new thing.
You see their new version of it, but I like that they make Bumblebee. He's a mercenary. Mm-hmm. He's just like, I'll get you Energon for the price. Yeah. You come to me, I'll give it to you.
Yeah,
I'm not down
with these labels. I don't care about this war.
Yeah. Yeah, no, the same way. Yeah, and there were other supporting characters who I liked. The thing is, and it's going to sound bad, I want to also go into some of the animation and also the action. Is that, okay, I know who Megatron is, I know who Optimus Prime is, Bumblebee and everything, but there's so many...
Where you don't know who is who.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I've always blamed Michael Bay for that with those with those robots fighting each other because there's so many parts.
Hot metal slamming into each other. That's all it is.
But now, even with these more simplified designs, it's still a problem.
Yeah.
I wish you guys were color coded in a way, but Starscream and Optimus Prime have the same red, white, and blue color scheme.
Yeah, which is weird. Mm-hmm. I didn't remember that being in the original series. Like, yeah. They shared the same color scheme.
Yeah, I think it wasn't until episode 4 that I started getting a handle on being able to identify who was who in a skirmish.
I'll admit, I did not. Even by episode 6. I'm like, I know Optimus Prime, Bumblebee, because they have just very unique designs. Because you have some of these Transformers that... they all share the same structure. Mm-hmm. They have like a gray, green, maybe a purplish color palette to them. And they're saying like, you know, Blockbuster, whoever, I forget the one, the Decepticon, Mulger or whatever his name was. But it's like, yeah, I guess he died, or is this like a new character that just happened? Like, they constantly go back and forth. And I'm like, all right. I got confused a little often. So that's my one big critique, is like just kind of the animation design and color palette. But how would you feel about some of the action sequences? Because I have a thing of this animation style. Like, I think it works for the most part with Transformers in that... the Transformers, they're robotic. Mm-hmm. They're supposed to move like machines.
Yeah.
But this CGI, the CGI 3D style, it always feels very off-putting to me. Like, it doesn't, like, when we see it, like, what's supposed to be human characters, they always feel very rigid, almost like they're a marionette.
Sure, sure.
And it works for the scenes when they're just walking. It's like, that's how they're supposed to walk. It matches their movements, their actions. But... there wasn't like a really big action moment in this thing where I'm like, oh, that's cool. Like, maybe when they're shooting their guns at various targets up in the sky, I think, oh, that's fun. But when they're like up and punching each other, I always thought, this is not really well choreographed. This isn't really working for me.
Yeah, I mean,
it's
hard to know, not just a question of who is doing what to whom, but to how much impact their blows have or get shot. Sometimes somebody gets shot and they're done. And sometimes they get shot and it just knocked them down or stunned them.
Yeah. They really adhere to rules. Like, you see one guy who is just, I mean, he has half his chest is gone. And he'd be like, oh, he'll be fine. But all of his innards are gone.
Yeah.
And you get this one guy who gets like shot once and he's like, and he just keels over. So yeah, I know why they do that. It's for the storytelling. Like, we need this character to die.
One of the things
here
that helps, at least for me, is that there are no humans at this point. Mm-hmm. It's all.
I love that.
So with this, you know, the jerkier animation style, like, I don't know, because they say animation, I mean, anime is animated on the twos, which is why it's a little bit jerkier, and this might even be threes. But also with this, I mean, it's all done with the computer, and it's like right off the bat, you see, okay, they're not doing a full render on this.
Yeah,
and
you're right.
And they can get away with it because, hey, they are machines. So if it makes them jerky, you just accept it. And it's consistent, it's universal. You go with it. But, you know, if they're heading to Earth with people, this is going to be a problem.
That's the thing I'm concerned about, because you kind of give me an idea of why I just not a big fan of that animation style. I have the, and listen, I respect Rooster Teeth infinitely, and I like the world of Ruby, but there is this kind of that jerkiness that we see there with, I'll kind of give you an example of why I'm concerned, but potentially what the humans could look like and move like. Mm-hmm. I have the trailer for Ruby right here. Kind of give people an idea of what I'm talking about. Because there's such like anime that has been on Netflix that use that same style, and they keep greenlighting more stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I understand why, because
it's
quicker and cheaper. Exactly. And it's like, I like that 2D animation style so much better, because it just feels so, I mean, it feels natural. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can play around with perspective and how these things are moving in action.
A cell shader filter on this, so it gives everything lines. Mm-hmm. So it looks, you know, somewhere between a 3D model and a drawing.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because where this starts, it's in the dark, and I couldn't tell that there were lines on them until they get to an area that's lighted. And it's like, oh, they are using the cell shader. Huh. It's interesting.
It was smart of them to keep this series mostly in the dark, because I think there's daytime maybe twice in like the episode. I think at the very last episode, the sun comes out.
Oh, yeah. You know? It seemed like whenever it was lit up, because they were inside of a place that had lights.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, I just remember that specifically. It might have been to hide that you know, the wonkiness of some of the animation. But kind of give you an idea of why I'm slightly concerned about the inclusion of human characters. This is Rooster Teeth's Ruby. And, like, they've actually made a lot of improvements in the latter seasons to how their animation works. But this is what we could probably expect in the future.
Ben's at a point we just can't take anymore. There's a line up across and there's no return. There's a time and a place, no bridges left to burn.
There's a lot of, like, cool action happening here. It's choreography, but you still see that rigidness.
Oh,
and that's why it's a personal bias of mine, and it always throws me off.
No,
this style.
I don't like that either. It's a lot like the MTV Spider-Man series.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I was not a fan of that. Mm-hmm. You know, really, it wasn't until Spectacular Spider-Man where we actually you nailed it for the first time ever. We went to the '90s, and that's what it was. And for a lot of people, that was great. And I watched it because I love that show. But Spectacular is when they got that. Right. Speak on the animation, you know, the cell shading and everything. What did you think of like the character models overall? I guess did you just like the designs? Anything look unusual to you?
No. I was fine with it because I was like, anytime you get back to making them look like the toys, I think is good.
Yeah,
because it was like, listen. You could say, oh, that doesn't work. It's like, no, they made it work. They actually made those things work where you could fold them up.
Yeah, no, I agree.
I didn't have a problem with design. There's only one thing I had a major problem with throughout this series.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why do they ever run? I could never understand that, especially when they're like, come on, let's get out of here.
Yeah.
And they'd spend the whole time, you know, running like bipeds. I was like, your whole point is that you could turn into vehicles.
Yeah, it's...
Vehicles are faster. Some of you can fly, some of you can drive.
Yeah.
This makes absolutely no goddamn sense, and you're doing it throughout this series.
You know, they should probably just stick as cars and jets and things. It might be easier for them to constantly get around.
right.
And anytime they're in their Autobot or Decepticon bipedal form, they're actually more at risk of dying than ever.
Yeah.
that is an excellent point. That is, I don't know why they constantly do that. Actually, we don't really see them transform too often
because
they do the thing where it's like they even if they are in their car form or plane form or whatever, they're so often, it's, oh, battle starting. It's like, no, that'd be useful to kind of drive around the environment and go back and forth and things. We're like, oh, no, we transform into our robot form. And then we just start shooting these guns that are incredibly inaccurate until they're not. That is an excellent point. I was going to bring that up, but no, thank you for doing that. The reason why I bring up some of the design things, because people have a problem with the design of one particular character.
Oh.
And it's over something that I didn't even realize. But I was like, you know what? Okay, I could see it. I think it's a little crazy, but people...
Is it because Bumblebee has horns?
No, that's that kind of like the OG design.
That's what I thought.
People like that. No, it has to do with Megatron.
Oh.
And his design. It's like, oh, what? He looks exactly as he does in the Gen 1, but they don't like his lips. Of all things. And listen, he's got some succulent, juicy lips. You're
already
seeing all this all online right now. People are making memes of it. And this is just one of them. And it's like, you know, hey, man, don't judge Megatron by his appearance. Judge him by his actions. But it's like, I have to admit, when you put some blush on him, some of that eyeliner and that lipstick, it's like, okay. Decepticon, yes. Apparently Megatron was a fembot the entire time.
Oh,
we didn't know.
Come on. He has thicker lips. He just has, he's got some ethnic blood.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, he's a Decepticon after all. He's now up here. And you know what? Kind of on that, but yeah, I thought that was kind of ridiculous.
That is ridiculous.
It's fine. Like, one detail. I did notice, though, some of the lip sync is not always on it. Like, in the first episode, it felt like a little off. I mean, it felt like all the other episodes going forward, like, it was good. But, like, the first scenes between Bumblebee and Wheeljack. It's like, I don't think that the audio and the lip is moving correctly. Maybe I looked at it weird or something. Did you notice anything like that with some of the lip sync?
No, because every so often I look at the lip sync and I was like, oh yeah, it seems to match up pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. It was it was one detail that kind of that threw me off initially, but eventually I got into it as I kept watching and kept binging the series. But this is one other point I wanted to touch on. I also like how they go into the racism of the, even among the Decepticons. Mm-hmm. And like Starscream, he is a racist little bitch.
Yeah.
Because he all he wants to do is just completely destroy the Autobots, wipe them out because they're impurities, as he says. And Megatron's like, no, I don't want, at least not initially. He's like, I don't want to do that. And you have his own supporters, like other fellow Decepticons, is like, we want to win this war, but we don't want to wipe them all out.
Yeah, we're not here for genocide.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's like, yeah, and this series just deals with genocide so well. And even like the leader who was, you know, eventually greenlights, he has conflicting emotions throughout of it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but no.
So I thought that was great.
Starscream is a Malfoy.
So. No, he absolutely is. Just a little evil bastard. Honestly, man, kind of just going to final thoughts. This show just really surprised me, both with its, I mean, the level of maturity it was handling those topics, everything from genocide to racism to interpersonal relationships between these characters.
Yeah.
It made me actually understand the villain's point of view. Where it's like Megatron was never understandable. He was just a straight bad guy the entire time. You actually took the time to develop him as a character. And it's like, okay. And even Adele's like, you know, I think Megatron's kind of right. That's especially when we go in the, we won't spoil it, but what Optimus decides to do is like, you know what? That doesn't sound too good, man. And Megatron's like, don't do that. You think I'm bad. What you're doing is even worse. I love that change. That was great. And yeah, I have some qualms about the animation stuff, but for the most part, This is a really fun series. I'm excited for what Rooster Teeth and Netflix are going to produce later. They haven't given a release date. What the chapter
have
two
they,
is?
Have they not?
No. Mm. Yeah, but I've liked what I've seen so far, and I like this take. I'm sad that it's getting such a negative reaction from some, you know, segments of the fan base. But I think it's fun.
Anything with a fan base is never going to be completely accepted. Yeah. That's just the way it goes. You got to look at, okay, is this a fan base that feels negatively towards it, so they boycott it, or do they feel negatively, but they still watch it anyway?
Yeah, I think this is the one where they watch it anyway. Yeah. So, because it's more Transformers and they love Transformers. Mm-hmm. So, but for myself, like, yeah, I was really impressed with it. So I think on the DT scale, I'd have to give it a full price. I enjoyed it. What about you?
A full price is a bit much, but I would give it a high matinee. Mm. I definitely enjoyed it. I was sad when it hit that sixth episode. I was like,
one more.
Kind of wanted maybe just a couple more of these. Mm-hmm. The length is just perfect, beyond perfect.
Agreed.
And it really treats this property with, I think, more respect than I'm used to it having.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, the way it goes, it makes me want to revisit other versions of this that I've blown off. Going to go like, okay. If I look back at those things with this in mind, it kind of changes it.
Yeah. No, I'm right there with you. I mean, I'm probably not going to go back and watch the Michael Bay films, but maybe like some of these other cartoons or something that they, because they've made so many different seasons of this, or series, I should say, of the Transformers. So yeah, no, it put it in a new light. And before we move on to our next topic, hope you guys enjoyed our review for Transformers War for Cybertron. But what about you, Chap? Did you like this series? Have you watched it yet? Do you want to watch it yet? Are you old school Transformers fans? What's everyone's thoughts on this? Just kind of curious. Hex Decimal says, I guess I'll check it out too. There you go. Some positivity. Yazzie says, it's really
Prime
good.
TV series. Huh?
Hmm?
Now somebody's mentioning the Transformers Prime TV series.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Please show to me the Tron Uprising and the Transformers franchise. It takes the idea that's the best I can. Oh, yeah. The Prime series. Okay, cool. Watch Prime and 2003. I think I watched the animated 2003 series back in the day. I feel like that was. It was similar in design to the 80s animation, but it was a little cleaner looking. Mm-hmm. But it's been so long since I've seen it. But yeah, it seems to be like a lot of positivity in the chat right now. 8 out of 10. I'll check it out. Yeah, so that's good, guys. Yeah.
This is the final day of the Autobot Resistance.